Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. So is the American dream of retirement slipping away? With over half of Americans feeling unprepared, is there really any hope left for a secure retirement? So on today's show, we're going to break down the challenges facing retirees and explore some potential solutions to help you stay on track.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. My name's Steve Siddall. We are going on a cruise today for sure. As more Americans, we get, approach the financial landscape that is there today. It's pretty uncertain for a lot of folks. We got a piece from Yahoo Finance contributor Carrie Hannon. Carrie Hannon is also a best-selling author. In her studies, she says nearly 50% of U.S. adults say they lack sufficient retirement savings, and more than a third of workers have less than $10,000 saved. But why?
Americans love to spend. They are really terrible at saving for retirement. We are undersaved. Vanguard came out with a report this morning that showing that over a career, someone might change employers 8 times, and each time they get behind on their retirement savings. And so they calculated it was something like $300,000 in lost retirement savings by switching jobs.
Kevin, what do you think? Do you really see it costing that to change jobs? I mean, I never thought about it that way, but I guess that makes sense.
You know what? I think she has a point for some people that when they change jobs, they realize they can do something with their 401k and they can move it. Or if they wanted to withdraw it or take it out, they can. And I think sometimes people don't realize or aren't thinking enough about the long-term impact of taking money out of that 401k. They're trying to address a short-term need or a short-term desire. And I think that's a big mistake. It's understandable if you have absolutely no choice. But in my mind, that would also include I would try to go get a loan before I actually took the money out of the 401k.
Okay.
And I anybody that's listened to my show, you know I am completely against interest payments. I don't like having anybody to pay interest for anything. I always advocate paying everything off, including your mortgage, before you get to retirement. So it might be surprising that I would say take a loan. And the reason I say that is because I want to emphasize the commitment and how the commitment that you should have, in my view, to your retirement savings accounts. And that commitment should be unwavering for any and all circumstances, including your kids asking you for money. And even if it's whatever it's for, in my mind, the parents are much closer, right? You're 20, 25, 30, 40 years older than your child. You're a lot closer to retirement than they are. They've
right,
got much more time ahead of them, right? They've got the time to learn the skills, to go to a trade school, join the military, go to college, so that they can fend for themselves and they can create their own lives, live their life to the fullest, and pay their own bills. And so if you're in a situation, you have the financial capability that you can pay for their education or whatever it is they would like to do, and it won't impact your own plans, by all means, go for it if that's what you want to do. But if it means sacrificing your retirement or delaying your retirement, then I would caution against doing that. I've seen a lot of people do that, and more people these days are actually supporting their adult children than I think at any point in history.
Oh, man.
And it's something like 60% of adults are supporting an adult child in one fashion or another. And I was very, very surprised by that statistic. And it's a large, but it's a large amount. And in most cases, that's money that you maybe somebody used the word borrow or loan, but in most cases, that money's never coming back. No. And so I think it's important to stay focused on your own path. There's all sorts of avenues available for a child. If we're talking about college, I used to do college planning, and I used to do late stage college planning, meaning this wasn't for planning when your baby was born or when they're 1 or 2 or 5 years old. This is when now your kid's in eighth grade and you don't have any money put away for college. And I call that late stage planning because ideally that would have been started when they were born, if not before.
You would think?
So my point is that there's all sorts of avenues out there. One of the best things a child can do, in my view, if you're in this situation, if your kid's in high school, have them take classes in high school that will apply and that'll give them college credit. There's a lot of schools now that have courses in high school that can allow your child, if they're diligent, they could actually graduate with an associate's degree in at the same time they graduate with a high school diploma.
My granddaughter just did that.
Sorry?
I said my granddaughter just did that.
Oh, fantastic.
She graduated from high school and got an AA degree.
That is fantastic. She should be an example. She's like the poster child that should be shown to everybody. Because, guys, think about that. The associate's degree is a 2-year degree, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by doing that, she has already cut half of what she needed to spend for a bachelor's degree.
Exactly.
She's cut it in half. That is fantastic. Fantastic.
And my daughter and son-in-law are kind of happy, too.
You know what? I'll bet they are. Well, you know what? I'd say your daughter and son-in-law did a very good job raising her if she was able to accomplish that.
Well, exactly,
so
yeah.
I think they're on the right track for sure. That is impressive, and I would recommend that, guys. College has gotten so expensive. If they're able to do it, by all means. And then if the family is on the lower end of the income scale, there's a lot of schools out there, Ivy League schools like Harvard and Yale. Now, granted, they have to be able to get in, okay, which is another conversation. But
sure,
from the financial standpoint, they can actually get a free ride, a full free ride, if the income is below like 60 grand or something. So
sure.
There are a lot of avenues out there, and of course there are grants, there are Pell grants that are out there. There's work credits. There's a lot of places have that if you do accumulate college debt and then you go into a field, for instance, in Illinois, it used to be if you became a teacher, then after 10 years, all of your college debt was automatically forgiven.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember that.
Yes, and it's available for other programs, too, in public service, and it varies, location by location. But there's a lot of college counselors out there. There's a lot of them that just want to sell you a program and charge you money, but you don't have to do that. There's so much information on the Internet. You just need to sit down and take a few hours and look at the resources. There's all sorts of scholarship opportunities out there. There's even a scholarship out there. At least when I was doing this, is about 15 years ago, when I was focused on college planning, there were scholarships out there specifically for left-handed people.
Okay? Oh, my gosh.
Had you ever heard of that, Steve? I mean,
no, I've never heard of that.
If I wasn't doing it, I wouldn't have known anything about it. There's all sorts of things. You just need to look into them. But there are some scholarships out there that are carved out for specific types of people, like different ethnic backgrounds, or it could be a religious scholarship or any number of things. But
sure,
do yourself a favor and just look into it, and I'll bet you can save yourself a whole lot of money, and then you won't have to touch that 401k to help your kid with college.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a little bit of work on this end, but boy, well worth it.
What did my father used to say? Anything worth having is worth working for.
Right.
And you know what? If you put the effort and the work in on the front end, it's going to save you money on the back end. So the way I look at it, when I'm doing things like that, I look at it and I say, you know what? If this is going to save me $1,000, and if it takes me 10 hours, I'm making $100 an hour, essentially.
Sure.
And so that's how I like to look at it. And then I don't mind spending time doing it at all because I feel like I'm getting paid for it.
I like it. And you know, as we, this is an area that I think people need to know more about, especially, you know, from the whole college standpoint. And you said that's a whole industry in and of itself.
It really is, and it's gotten much bigger, much bigger since I did it. I used to be with a group called 123 College, and they help people, you know, everything from filling out the FAFSA, you know, the financial aid forms, which can be very complicated, which was a big mess with this past year, you know, from because of the government. And imagine that. But nonetheless, there are counselors up there, but a lot of them do want to sell your program. Some of them want to they want to work with your child, let's say early high school, and they want to set them up with mentors, things like that, to help work on their grades, take the right classes, make sure they're on the right path to get into the career and the college they want to get into, and things like that. So there's a lot of resources, and it is very important in my mind that if your child is going to go to college, that you help them prepare for it so that they don't, you know, a lot of kids go to college and the first couple of years are kind of wasted, in my opinion. They're not really taking it seriously. They're just partying, hanging out, meeting new people, and taking a bunch of general education classes. But if they have this focus in high school, they're going to be much better prepared when they get to college to have a better idea of what they want to do and what avenue to go down, so they don't start studying one thing and then wind up having to change to a different major, which winds up adding another year of tuition and books and things like that to the bill. So right. So the more research you put in up front, I think the more you – all of you will be rewarded in the end.
And it comes down to something that we talk about every week, Kevin, and that is education, financial literacy, and it's so important. And, you know, it starts in high school, truly.
It really does. And you know what? I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about these things. They've actually got some kids that are late, you know, senior in high school and early college at that age.
Sure.
And I was talking to him about that, and I said, you know, looking back on my life, how I was raised, you know, my parents never spoke to me or taught, you know, anything financial. My family didn't invest in the markets. They didn't do things like that. But they never talked to me about anything financial. I mean, really very, very little other than you got to get a job to make your own money to pay for things. And, you know, teaching me the value of hard work, they did a really good job of that. But they didn't teach me about a lot of things. You know, I wish they'd have had conversations with me about financial markets. But I understand they didn't invest in them themselves, and I don't think they understood them themselves. So obviously they couldn't talk about it. But I think the earlier you can start talking to them about it, the better. I think it's a shame personally that there aren't more financial classes growing up. I don't think you need to wait till high school. I think you could start in junior high. I think when a kid's 11 or 12, I think they can understand the concept of a dollar.
Well, again, when kids 11, 12 years old, I've got grandkids in that age. I mean, they're into, you know, they know money from Venmo, from, you know, all of that. That's how they live.
Exactly. And can you imagine if somebody had the discipline and the commitment that they could actually, you know, start to invest at that age? Even if you put $100 into something, I don't know, put $100 into NVIDIA, you know, or the S&P 500. And better yet, do it when they're born and put money in the S&P 500 index, put in the best growth fund you can find. And by the time they get to college, you'll have a good chunk of money, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so there's a lot of things you can do, but if you can teach them about money and saving and finance and, you know, not to get yourself too far in debt, you know, like one thing that happened to me when I was in college, you know, I was junior in college and I'm getting credit card offers, right?
Yeah.
Sure. I didn't have a job, right? I mean, I did not have a job, or I might have had I worked at a convenience store, you know, cashier at a convenience store for some extra money. But it's not like that was going to get me a credit card. I didn't have a credit score, but they gave me credit cards. And me being young, I'm seeing this, I'm saying, hey, you know, hey, I'm talking to my girlfriend, you know, hey, you want to go to Fort Lauderdale for a weekend? And so I took the credit card, I borrowed the money. And then I wound up being in debt for years after that because I wasn't smart enough to really understand what I was getting myself into.
Right. Well, again, I think a lot of us fell into that trap as well. But I'll use my granddaughter as an example. I'll give credit to her folks, but because of the discipline that she's established, she's already thinking ahead.
That's fantastic.
I mean, you know, the discipline of having to handle both high school and college essentially simultaneously.
No, that's what I said. That is really impressive. It is. And not just impressive that she accomplished it, but that she wanted to, right?
Yeah,
because
right.
How many kids that age, how many teenagers, you know, like there's a lot of people I talk to and, And I say, well, did you talk to them about college? And they're like, and they shake their head. No, they don't want to go to college. I say, well, how about the military? No, they don't want to go in the military. I say, well, so I guess you're looking at a trade school. Well, they're not really sure if they want to do that either.
What the heck?
And I hear that's the answer. Those are the answers I get from probably 2/3 of people. With my experience, it's more rare to have a kid that knows, you know, has a good idea what they want to do. Like, it doesn't have to be, say, you know, I want to be an orthopedic surgeon.
Right.
You know, even if they know where they want to go into medicine or they want to work in healthcare with people. You know, so I think, but to me, it stems from not having those conversations early enough, and not bringing up those topics early enough. And so I think the earlier you start talking about these things, I think the better off and the more knowledge that the child is going to have, and the better off, the more successful they'll be.
Sure. Hey, I want to bring up something to you you had said this some time ago, and we've talked about it several times, but you talk about, you know, shopping your car insurance. Well, I don't know.
Yes.
The last time you talked to one of the last times that we talked, you had talked about that at some point. So I thought, well, darn it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome. No problem.
I mean, it went from, and I didn't understand why it was kept going up, you know, but then you just pay it and you don't even think. And then you realize what it's,
yep.
You know, for 6 months, it's over $2,000. Wait, what? And I'm now paying about $800.
Oh, real fantastic, man.
Yeah.
Good. Nice. Nice. And no, that's exactly it. Because I go through it myself, right? I go through it myself,
yep.
And you know, obviously it's part of what I do is, you know, financial things, but no, those are personally, I believe it's built into the models of a lot of insurance companies. And what I mean by that is I believe they build their system so that they can attract people from competitors with low rates for the first year, maybe 2 years, and then they just hike the heck out of it.
Yep.
And then they're banking on it that people are lazy and you don't want to go through the hassle of changing the insurance, you know, because it can be a little work, right? You gotta put all your documents together so you know your coverages and all that stuff.
Yeah, but it's all electronic now. Super easy.
It's super easy, and I'll bet you can do it in a couple hours. You know,
I spent, to include the research, I spent, close to 3 hours, but that's the research, too. I went, you know, you go through that whole process.
Yeah.
But again, the actual process, like maybe a half hour.
Yeah, so three, okay, even if you had the, even if it's 3-4 hours, let's say it's 5 hours to make it simple, and you said you saved over $1,000, right?
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, okay, so if that was 5 hours, that's $200 an hour, right?
That's my kind of wage.
I tell you what, if I could earn that, if I could have somebody pay me that wage, I'd be feeling pretty good.
Absolutely.
So I think it's time well spent, guys, and the fact is that you know, you're going to find, if you start to look around, you're going to find a lot of different rates. So what I do is I just pull out my sheets. You know, when you get the bill from the insurance company, it's got your deductibles, your coverages, all that stuff next to it, all the limits, you know, how much coverage you have. And then you put it side by side, match all the coverages, match the deductibles, and then just send it out on the internet for quotes. Bear in mind, you're probably going to have to agree to get phone calls, okay? But I just keep it simple. You know, the agents, they understand. You're trying to save your family money, right? They get it. So take a look at it. I'll bet you can do just like Steve did and save yourself and your family a whole bunch of money. Right?
Right.
And that's something I suggest every few years, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm into it now. Trust me.
There you go.
Well, the other thing that I found interesting is that you know, I had all of that stuff, but I didn't need it because they plugged in the insurance I had, and there it all was.
Oh, it was already there?
Oh, my
nice.
God, yeah, it's kind of scary, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah, but in any case, it's a slick process.
You know what? And with computers, and the technology has gotten so good over, you know, for those of us that were around in the 90s when, you know, with the birth of the internet and birth of email for me, I think my first email was in the mid 90s. And anybody, I guess if you're less, you know, I don't know if you're less than 30, then you probably don't know about that, except I guess like reading it in the history books.
Oh, sure.
You know, but it's come a long, long way, and I'm sure it's going to get a lot better. But the fact is, just like you just said, Steve, is that having this information, it's out there, and so you probably don't even need your sheets to do it, right?
Right.
But that's what I like to do. You know, just like if you, I don't know if most people do it or not, but you know, like my wife, she does most of the shopping. I'll admit it's old fashioned, so she gets our groceries and stuff like that.
Sure.
But she goes to probably four or five different stores to get the best deal. You know, and she compares between Walmart and Amazon and Sam's Club and our local grocery stores, and to try to get the best deal on every individual item, and that you make up a shopping list for each store. And for us, each of the stores is within 10 minutes, so it's not a big deal to drive there.
Yeah.
It's not far or anything like that. But if we can save, and like, well, she'll specifically do shopping on a particular day of the week, because that's when they have, you know, they have these deals where you get points for discounts on gasoline.
Sure.
And so she'll always do the shopping. So every time we fill up with gas, we save a dollar every gallon of gas. And, you know, and so that's, you know, $20 right there, basically.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So it all adds up, guys. It all adds up. And so I know we've all heard it before. It's a matter of just sitting down and making yourself do it. You know, if you're spending the money on Starbucks every day and you're going out to lunch every day, you know, maybe you bring a lunch a couple days a week. Maybe bring your own coffee a couple days a week, if not all the time. And, you know, like I recently flew to Denver to visit with a client, and I made my own sack lunch to take with me to the airport because I want to save money on everything
well,
that I
can.
Well,
plus you get gouged at the airport.
Oh, God, it's ridiculous. One slice of pizza was $10.
Yeah.
Okay, for a slice.
Yep.
I'm like, come on now. It's just, you know what, I don't mind paying a reasonable price and a reasonable profit, but I can't stand getting ripped off.
No.
And that's what that feels like to me, is just a blatant ripoff. So I'm in favor of doing everything you can to save yourself some money, including shopping around on your insurance. And especially if you're a lot of folks, if you're in one of the states like California and Florida, Florida has the highest homeowners insurance by far in the entire country now. So if you have any thoughts about moving to Florida, take a second look.
Because, oh, yeah. Yep.
They're paying, like, I think my homeowners policy here, oh my gosh, it's less than $1,000 a year. It's maybe $800 a year.
Yeah.
And the same policy in Florida would cost me $6,000.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so,
ouch.
So guys, there's a big, big difference. And in California, it'd probably be the same because of the wildfires. So, in fact, a lot of companies are pulling out. And you know, by the way, speaking of Florida, you know from the Hurricane Debbie that was, I don't know, a little while back.
Yep.
77% of claims have been denied. 77%.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Whoa. That's
because
scary.
Because they say most of the damage was from flooding, and your homeowner's insurance doesn't cover flooding, right?
Yeah.
You got to have a separate flood policy for that, and very few people do. So nonetheless, as you're planning your retirement, make sure you think about these things. You know, the cost of insurance can make a big difference. Like I say, so I could spend $500 a month on homeowner's insurance in Florida, or I could spend $60 a month in Arizona. Okay,
yeah.
I'll take Arizona. Thank you very much.
Every time. I was just reading in the last couple of weeks, I read that, and this is particularly in Florida, they're using drones to inspect people's roofs.
You know what? I've read some of those. I saw a family that got canceled because of what the drone reported.
Exactly. Yep. I must have saw the same story.
Yeah. And yes, they're using drones for all sorts of things. You know, a lot of the damage that's caused by storms is the roof. And so, you know, like the biggest sort of that's like what starts the fire, right? In California,
yep.
The wildfires, it's the roof that catches on fire first, usually, and then it just spreads. And so that's why I actually looked at living in the mountains at one point in time, and I checked out insurance before I thought about doing it. And I found that if you build your house with a steel roof, it can save you a bunch of money on the insurance policy if wildfires are a threat. So the drone technology, you know, insurance companies are using it to make sure they're pricing their risk appropriately. And as a lot of us, including me, complains about the cost of insurance, thinking it seems too high. It's too damn high, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the losses these insurance companies are sustaining from these storms in Florida, what it shows you is that they were not charging enough because they're losing billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they're walking away from those. They're not issuing new policies.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, they're not doing that because it's profitable. They're doing it because they're losing money. And if they're losing money, it means they didn't charge enough. And to me, that means all those prices are going to – they're just going to keep going higher. And in fact, some of the best investments have been some insurance companies. So for better or for worse, that's where we're at right now. But make sure you have that coverage. Even if you own it, you probably want to have some coverage. But getting back to the investment world, though.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we've talked about is inflation. And we've seen a lot of inflation over the last few years. And as much as I hate to get political, guys, I want to point out, I think it was 23 Nobel Prize winning economist, just came out a couple of days ago supporting Harris's economic package over Trump. And the problem is, if Trump wins and they're actually able to put all of these tariffs in place and these tax cuts in place, the bond market is going to crash, in my view. Interest rates are going to skyrocket because the deficit is going to go through the roof. Okay, guys, take that. I believe he's the rhino, okay? I don't believe Reagan would recognize this Republican party as being Republican. I thought Republicans cared about the debt. I thought they cared about the balance sheet. I thought they cared about fiscal, you know, maintaining fiscal strength and not borrowing beyond your ability. Well, guys, our national debt is at $36 trillion. We are adding a, we're accruing $100 billion of interest every month. Think about that. $100 billion a month in interest. That's what's happening right now. We're spending more on our interest payments on our debt than we do on the entire military expenditures. That's all the military branches, all the wars, all the battles. The entire military costs us less than we're spending in debt right now. And that's just debt service, meaning we're spending, you know, this sick amount of money just to pay the interest on the debt. That's not paying down the debt. It's just paying the interest, okay? Mm-hmm. And both administrations have got policies that they want to borrow more than, you know, the deficit is when we're borrowing more than we're bringing in. So it's like you're bringing in $10,000 a month in your household, but you're spending $13,000, okay? That's negative cash flow. That's what the U.S. has been doing, and that's why our debt is going up so much. And if we keep going down this road, if they actually cut taxes and impose tariffs and deport 10 million people, I've told my wife I'm seriously looking at moving to a different country, all right, because I think that will be the beginning of the next depression. And look it up. It's out online. Look at the Independent. Go to AP News. Go to the Associated Press. Go to Reuters, okay? Go to the business places where hopefully you can find this information free from the political aspect, because what I want – If Trump and those guys would get just stop talking about tax cuts, why the hell are they talking about tax cuts when we have so much debt? That to me is the most ridiculous thing, and I can't believe Republicans are pushing it. It's fiscally irresponsible, and they're gonna have guys. We're gonna have to start cutting programs if we keep incurring debt. And if you think inflation was high a few years ago, if he gets elected and Republicans push those through, inflation is going through the roof. So take a look at it. Make sure you know who you're voting for, what issues you're voting for, what they support and what they don't support. And personally, I'm voting all Democrat because at this point, I think they're the best bet for our future. So enough of that. One of those reasons is because of Social Security. So it's estimated 40% of retirees rely on Social Security. And under Trump, they say it's going to go bankrupt 3 years sooner. So if you were looking, we'd be looking at a 30% cut in 10 years based on his proposals. Right now we're looking at about a 22% cut in 10 years. So if we don't get politicians that actually tackle the issues facing Medicare and Social Security, they're not going to have a choice but to cut. And they can just blame it all on the Americans. It's the American voter, right? Because we're the ones voted these people in office. We're the ones ultimately responsible for what happens. So you cast your vote and make sure you know what exactly you're voting for. But getting back to where we're at in the economy, one issue that does come up with a lot of folks, especially in retirement, is healthcare costs, right?
Healthcare, and it
can be very expensive. And one thing, right now we're in the time where you can in Medicare, I believe we're in an open enrollment period right now.
Yep, not through December 7th. Not through December 7th.
Okay, so I'm not a Medicare expert. I don't sell those policies. I don't sell Medicare supplements, things like that. I can help you figure it out. And I've got some knowledge about it, but it's I'm not talking about these things because I want to get paid for it. I'm just trying. I talk about financial issues because I want to help everybody to try to save money and make the best decisions they can with their money. And it doesn't everything that I talk about or have conversations or give suggestions to with my clients, it doesn't mean I have to get paid for it. All right, I don't operate that way. I just want to help people do better financially. And so when you're looking, if you're looking at Medicare, you should take a look. If you have a Medicare Advantage plan in particular, all right, make sure you understand those, that it's the insurance company that can now deny you coverage. The insurance company can deny you a treatment, okay? And what I just learned is that Cigna actually owns a company that has been hired by numerous other insurance companies to make the decisions about a particular procedure and to give the approval or the denial. And it's owned by the insurance company. Okay?
Well,
and so
what's wrong with this picture?
The articles are out there, right? Because what happens is they'll say, hey, we're trying to improve healthcare. They're really trying to improve their bottom line. And so if you look at the rejection or the denial rates for a procedure from the Medicare Advantage plans versus traditional Medicare, there's a lot higher denial rate under the Advantage plans, according to the research that I've seen. So take a look at it to make sure you understand it, because you might be faced with a smaller network. I know they have some things where they say, hey, you have to pay zero, and that's what gets people interested. And if you don't travel, if you stay in the same area and you're fine with a small local network of doctors, it might work out well for you. But some things to remember is that if you have to change plans a couple years in, or if it's not your first year, okay, the first year is the only time that they cannot look at pre-existing conditions. The first year is the only time that you're automatically accepted for whatever plan you sign up for. But after the first year, that goes away. Okay, so if there's a health condition, underlying health condition, and you change plans later in life, you might run into a problem, because now they can actually consider pre-existing health conditions. And so take a look at this. You want to understand those rules. In my opinion, the traditional Medicare, along with a Medicare supplement plan and a Part D plan, the drug plan, that to me is the best combination. But that's, my opinion. It might not be the best thing for you. But make sure you understand the difference between traditional Medicare and versus the Medicare Advantage plans, which is dictated by the private insurance carrier, whether it's Humana or United Health or whoever. But they're the ones that'll make the call, and they're the ones that'll decide whether you need that knee replaced or that hip replaced or whatever it might be. So make sure you understand what you're getting into, and then I wish you the best of luck with your health and with your finances.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member SPINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise to create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.